I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Real quick, before we get into this week's episode with our friend Rel Battle, a great comedian and a guy who I have a long history with going all the way back to the University of Maryland, do want to tell all you folks, last week's Patreon, if you are not a patron, if you are listening right now and you go, you know what, I'm just good on the Patreon. I don't know what the point is. Why would I sign up for Patreon? Saif, how many stories has Billy June attempted to tell in the history of this podcast?
A good amount. And when I say good, it's just because it's a lot, not that the stories are good.
What would you say, how would you describe the story he told on the Patreon last week?
For whatever cryptic reason, it was one of the funniest stories I ever heard and told in such a funny way.
It's dark, it's sad, it's hilarious. If you've been thinking about Patreon, sign up and hear Billy's story from last week. It truly floored me and Saif. Mostly because we just couldn't believe how entertaining the story was, even though it was demented and scary. And also, you know, if you want to hear what Saif's life is on the road, his updates from the car with his coterie of ne'er-do-wells. His Bert Kreischer
tour is turning out to be a very phenomenal time. So you definitely got to get in on this.
So that's on Patreon right now. If you go to patreon.com/JuanEpisLife. I'm getting married. God willing, I'm going to have a family to support, okay?
Inshallah.
Inshallah, we need you. So go over to Patreon. Now, our time with Rel Battle.
Yo, son.
One Ep is life.
It's not the one you should be underestimating.
It is. Sasquatch, Godzilla, King Kong, Loch Ness.
We rap nerd now here, right?
Like, I can tell you were a nerd.
It's primal.
And that's raw.
Carhartt girl.
Speaking of sneaky big tits.
Are you out there fucking?
I'm doing that.
Years ago, I bought a millionaire Griffin.
Years ago.
Cypher Sounds. Peter Rosenberg. One Ep is life.
Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night.
And welcome to One Ep is Life.
You didn't say fourth appeal.
I can't, Saif. For the next 4 weeks, there could be no fourth meal.
No fourth meals?
No fourth
meals. Why? What's happening?
It's time. I've been saying I was going to lose a nice little 10 for the wedding.
Oh, for the wed.
I've been saying I was going to do 10. Yeah. And I'm like, I got mad time. And then like it got to like, you know, 2 months. All right, easy. 7 weeks. This is light. 6 weeks. Cool. Mm. I just hit a month on this past Saturday. Still sitting at that same 10, not an inch so far. So I got to just do it. Listen, I'm not trying to go crazy, but I do want to feel, you know, I want to feel, you know, somewhat slim and trim when I get there. Did you do a wedding diet before your wedding?
I'm not talking about diets.
Not even the conversation about diets right now. Don't even want to use the word.
I don't even want to talk about it.
Oh, boy. I thought you were going to say, I don't want to talk about my wedding. You don't want to talk about diets. That may be more worse. Should I be more worried?
I thought this was a hip-hop podcast. I thought we were talking about hip-hop.
Well, keep it to the subject, fams.
Yeah, I like hip-hop talk.
Yeah, keep it to the subject. Now, hip-hop talk. Love hip-hop. Big fan. You know what happened 15 years ago today in the hippity to the hoppity?
What?
15 years ago today.
The best rapper alive was born.
That's right.
Little Smudge Packet.
Oh, you were saying like theoretically because it's been 15 years, that would make for a guy named Lil Smudge Packet.
Yeah, whoever's hot right now on fucking TikTok is the hottest rapper. Yo, Smudge Packet was born today, 15 years ago?
Well, in some ways, yes, because 15 years ago, Lil Wayne dropped Carter 3.
That was 15 years ago?
15 years
ago. Holy shit. You know what's so crazy?
You just heard it for the first time. What do you think?
I just put together, I spent way too many hours putting together the sickest Lil Wayne playlist in my phone.
Really?
Like sick. Like to the point where I was taking his freestyles and his songs, taking off other people that I didn't like just so it'd be Lil Wayne on the song and that's it.
When were you doing this?
I don't know. Last week, I started on a plane and then it continued on. Last week, I was doing it. Like, I took off Gutta on some No Ceilings freestyle. I took Gucci Man off of that song that he had with Lil Wayne.
Wow.
I took Drake off some of the songs. There was a song with Wiz Khalifa.
You took Drake off some of the songs.
I took Drake off. I took Wiz Khalifa off. There was some song with Wiz.
Well, without any further ado, you know, we couldn't talk about Lil Wayne's Carter 3. Without bringing on the man himself. I know you're going to be surprised that I booked this. It's crazy. 15 years later, there's only one person you could talk to about Lil Wayne, Carter 3, and that is my guy, Rel Battle.
What's up, man?
What's up, the only one? He's the only one?
He's the only one who could talk about this with any sort of authority. Yo, Terrell, where the hell are you? Hold on, I had to zoom in.
Bro, I was checking in my hotel, and my room wasn't ready, so I'm on the balcony right now.
Oh, you're living the balcony life?
Oh, that's how I do these days. What's up, P? What's going on?
Balcony
man?
Where? Where? What city are you in?
I'm in a city. I'm on like 28th or something. 28th.
Oh, in New York City.
So wait, Type, tell me this real quick. How do you know Terrell Battle? What's your relationship with Terrell Battle? AKA Rel Battle.
Yeah, who the fuck is Terrell?
Yeah, sorry.
That's what I'm wondering.
He's not Terrell Battle, who I went to college with, just Terrell. He is only Rel now.
Tell him my history.
I know him as Terrell Battle.
And he's Turpentine.
He's a Maryland Turpentine. We went to the University of Maryland together. And Rel actually co-hosted The Great From Dusk Till Dawn with me for like on and off for a couple of years. Like was a regular co-host on my college radio show.
Oh, I thought that was Mac Main.
No, he's our guest. He's our guest next week to talk about Lil Wayne.
Who was the guy? I thought the other guy was your co-host.
Oh, Quartermain.
Quartermain, that's it.
Well, listen, hey, Sype, P had like five co-hosts, so let's...
Okay, yeah, it was moving in and out.
It was a circle for him. It was Destiny's Child back in those days.
No, so Quartermain never was my co-host on Dusk Till Dawn. He had his own show, and we became friends, and that's how him... But he wasn't ever on my show, but I had a DJ... I had my boy Christian, who was my host for a long time. After he became a pothead and stopped hanging out and left the show, then it became like a rotation of people who were just down to hang out. And Rel was, you know, finding his public persona at that time. So it was a good place for him to come up there and shoot the shit. You did some episodes of my commercial show, too, on the talk station.
In Fairfax, right? No, was it Fairfax?
That's right. Virginia? Yep.
Yeah.
In Fairfax.
And then I moved to Hollywood.
You can't skip that. We have one good fight, and then you left.
You know what? I forgot about this. Hey, Sife, you know how like on TV they always say, you're never going to make it. You remember that person?
Yeah. Did I say that?
He was like, never going to make it first.
You can't leave me? No, actually, I think in all seriousness, I owe Terrell, as part of my, I haven't gotten all the way through my 12 steps. I'm only on like I've been sitting on the fourth step for a couple years. But I actually, eight. I didn't even make it to eight. I'm halfway to eight. But when I get to eight,
the one, right, where people start calling around.
It's making amends.
Yeah.
So when I get to my eighth step, I would say Terrell's on the list of eighth step for me because our fight included a lot of things, but one of them was about a girl. I'm not going to go deep. I'm not going to go deep because I don't want to blow. I won't blow up your 20-year-old spot. But it was my behavior. A lot of times, I look back at my history. This sums it up. I look back at my history when I was wild and didn't know what I was doing or understand like my feelings around sex, women, etc. Every bad, dumb, sort of immoral, bad friend decision I made was around sex. Always. It was always. It was always the guiding force to doing things that I'm like, I feel like this is kind of grimy. Like, but I have to do it. And so there was a situation in which, as a friend, I was grimy and Rel found out about it, called me on it in our fight. I don't remember all the other parts of our fight. I just knew that was the one that stung because that was the part that was definitively true. Like, so that one, that was you called, I'm pretty sure in that fight, you called me on my bullshit. And I was like, ow, he's like,
my opinion about you is this, and my opinion about you is this, and the fact about you is this.
And I was like, he hit me with a fact.
It was college, though. We was like, it was just wild. We didn't give a fuck. We just wilded out, getting hot, drinking, and talking shit about.
No, you don't give a fuck now. In college,
you probably thought
it was everything. It was the your whole world was whatever was going on.
Wait. That might have broke up the duo. That might have been the end of it. Actually,
who knows? Maybe this whole thing would have been different. Instead of me being saddled with Sife all these years, weighing me down, I would have been with you. I would have had a sitcom with Craig Robinson on Peacock, like you're promoting right now.
Yeah, we broke up over a girl, V. That's Kyle, V.
Oh, that's classic. Yo, tell the people beyond our friendship, and you know them, both of us, what you're out here talking about and promoting right now.
Well, actually, I'm only in New York because, you know, we got the little strike going on in L.A. And, well, in New York and L.A. as well, all over the city. So I'm in the city performing. Sife, I saw you, what? I think I saw you at the Stand the other night.
Yeah, I saw you at the Stand, yeah.
Yeah, maybe at the Stand. But, no, I'm on a show on Peacock with the great Craig Robinson, and we're airing in August. And it's a fantastic show. We're having a good time. We talk shit, and it's funny, and, you know, it's getting a lot of love.
Is it a talk show?
It's a show. Craig plays a guy who's... He's after the American dream, and he's hustling to figure out his way how to become a wealthy guy. I play the fast-talking asshole little brother, man. It's a duo kind of thing, like a Money Talks kind of era kind of project, man. And we just go around Miami, and we figure out schemes to win, bro. It's a funny show. It's on Peacock. Nobody watches it, but hopefully three of your fans will.
Peacock, I heard Peacock does well.
Let me tell you something. Vanderpump Rules, bro. Number one reality show in America. So we trying to get some Vanderpump Rules love.
Yeah, exactly.
Vanderpump Rules is on Peacock, right?
Yeah, it's one of the hottest shows up there. So, you know,
just tag on to that.
Yeah, you got to try to catch some of the Vanderpump Rules and WWE strays. And that's what you got to live on if you're on Peacock. Yo, but Rel, what's your grind been, man? You've been after this for a long time. Like, when did you start getting super serious about it?
For a minute, man, just stand up, kind of like, similar to like, I think, Sife, your story a little bit. You were doing radio. You kind of transitioned to stand up. Is that correct?
Yep, that's correct. Yes. Yep.
So I was in LA doing a lot of hosting and music touring, a lot of paid in fulls, a lot of shit like that. Just hosting a lot of events. And then, slowly you kind of find another stage. You're doing stand up. Me and Sife have kind of run into each other a couple of times over the years. And then, you know, you get the opportunity to be on camera, bro. And you take full advantage of it, man. So. When was that? When did we leave?
You left. I mean, the WJFK days, which was the last time I know, I think we like hung out in that area, was probably 05, 06.
Yeah, I wasn't doing comedy until a little bit later. But no, but stand-up's been dope, man. Just traveling the country talking shit, man. It's been awesome. So now I get to be a thespian.
A thespian, as they're known. That's right. Now,
you get married again.
Rewind, selecta.
You get some baddies, though, Pete. I'll be on the gram, baddies.
I mean, listen, it takes a long time, you know, and then I'm in the relationship for a minimum 15 years. But but I do it.
It's like, P had baddies in college, bro. P had baddies. This ain't just starting now with money.
He did. He had them.
P had baddies on local radio.
Not like too hard. No, but like, I was always the slow play game. Terrell had game back then. He had actual game in college. Like, he could go spit game. I was like serial monogamous. I had hot monogamy, but that's all I had. Rel went to many a night out with me DJing at Lupo's. Many a night out where I was DJing and Rel was out there hollering.
You know what's funny? I only missed 2 days. And one of them was my graduation and one of them was my grandmother's passing. But I was at Lupo's every Thursday.
Every Thursday?
What's Lupo's? A club?
I got a little college club spot. That was
and what
like
were you DJing?
I was playing commercial shit. How would you describe what Lupo's was, Rel? It was like
Jay Dilla. It wasn't Jay Dilla. You know what it was? You know what it was, Syfe? I remember it was like the playlist was like Goodies by Sierra, Usher, like Yin Yang Twins. It was that whole moment.
Syfe, it was actually a college club, of course. It was the only hot commercial party I've ever played regularly. It was my spot. I had every week. Yo, the football team would be in there. All the hot chicks would be in there. It was the spot. Yeah. It was the spot.
It was popping.
I'll tell
you what, man. I traveled the world doing this comedy shit, and I swear I don't have more fun than I had at Lupo's in those days.
Well, you were the man, too. You were in like a good spot in your life, too. Everyone knew you. I feel like you were well-known in the cool scene at Maryland.
Why? Because you would let me in the Lupo's and just sit up in the booth with you and look cool. I gave you credibility. You gave me credit. It was like Eminem signing 50.
I miss the days of leaving the club smelling like Black and Milds. You know, those days don't exist anymore. But it was it was a moment of time. Yo, how's your brother?
Terrence is great, man. He's like my hood manager, pretty much.
Syfe, you know Rel's a twin?
I did not.
Yeah, I got a twin brother. So when my reps can't get shit done, my brother does the Ice Cube shit. They just roll up and just start demanding shit. So you got to have both, man. You know what I'm saying? So I go to Atlanta, my reps can't get my money. My brother will go up in there and get the money for me. So, you know, you got to do that shit sometimes.
And are you both in L.A.?
Terrence is like Atlanta and L.A., so he kind of goes back and forth. He's producing now as well. So he's back and forth, just kind of moving in the game. So it's a family affair. You know what I'm saying?
That's dope. Look, do you consider L.A. home now?
Man, I'm in New York probably just as much.
Really?
Yeah, man. Stand up, you kind of got to be here. So I'm here about 6 months a year. I'm in L.A. 6 months a year, depending on what the work is. But it's a lifestyle, man. But look at us now, Pete.
Look at us. We made it to a Zoom. The three of us on a Zoom. Well, you're on some weird rooftop.
Barely having Wi-Fi.
By the way, the background looks like you're in the backyard of a Knox box.
I am. Look at this shit. Yeah, I'm outside in the patio. My room ain't ready. So this is dope, man. It's really cool.
But so you don't have a place that you stay when you're here? You just get put up by whatever your situation is?
Wherever I have like a hotel room or Airbnb, whatever. I had to switch out this time. But I had a place in New York, but I gave it up during COVID because it was too expensive to pay for. And nobody's living there. And so I got a place in L.A., man. I'm an L.A. bitch, man. Oh, shit. Didn't I see you at WWE as well?
Yeah, yeah. You saw me at WrestleMania very briefly.
Bro, you're the Jewish Joe Rogan, fam. Look
That's
at you.
Right. I know.
You're the Jewish Hulk Hogan?
No, Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan.
Actually, I got to be honest. I think both of those have rough connotations these days. Why were you at Mania?
What you mean why I was up? I'm a fan. What do you mean?
I didn't know. Are you like up on, like, do you watch on the reg? I didn't know that you
It's like I'm old school fan, so I happen to get tickets that time.
Right.
I don't really know. I'll go to it. Like I saw Pusha T yesterday at Governor's Ball. Like I'm gonna go see my one artist and then I'ma leave. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I'm a 90s wrestling fan, but I was there that particular night. It was great. It was awesome.
How was Gov Ball?
Oh, it was amazing, bro. You can't beat that. Giveon, Pusha is one of my favorite artists. I saw a little bit of Kendrick, but you know, it's New York, but you never have a back.
Where was that?
It was at City. It was near City Field. It wasn't at City Field. Was it at City Field or was it at
whatever the park is over there?
It was at a park, like Corona Park. Billy, where was it?
Yeah, Corona
Billy,
Park. No. Corona Park. Yeah, Corona Park.
And Kendrick headlined it last night.
Yes, he did.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Amazing. Syfe, it was crazy.
Syfe, you didn't go to Gov Ball this weekend?
I didn't even know it was happening.
I thought you guys just get free tickets to everything.
Oh, yeah.
Not me. Him. I'm out the game.
Still, you know everybody, Syfe. What you mean?
Maybe if I knew it was happening, I would get tickets. I didn't even know.
Your Rolodex is crazy, V. What you mean?
Yes, Syfe has Russ.
Hey, I'll show you my Rolodex.
Here we go.
I'll show you my Rolodex.
Who's that? Oh, old school?
So if they don't have this kind of phone, I don't get them on the line.
Syfe, is that an actual?
Hello? Is that okay? Buckshot Shorty? Can I come to your show?
Hey, Little Kim, what are you doing this weekend?
Buckshot Shorty. Little Kim don't return my shit, man.
Syfe's still calling Little Kim's home number from 1998.
I hit Little Kim three times. Okay. Three different things recently. Nothing.
You got to call C's first. That's how you get to Kim.
I told Steve, I said, yo, I tried to call Kim. He didn't call me back.
Hey, Sy, that's how I feel when I reach out to Peter. You know what I'm saying?
No,
I'm
that like, is not true.
Actually, you know what? I have to look. Do I not even have my number? Are you still your 301?
I ain't never changed, baby. Still 301.
Wow, you ain't never changed.
I just don't pick up the phone for people I don't want to talk to.
I just sent you a text right now. It just popped up. Yo, I was thinking about the Maryland days recently, Rel, because our friends, the Rosenthals, me and Sife's friends, started a podcast called The Blog Era.
Okay.
And, oh, Sife, you and I didn't even catch up about the little shit that popped off in The Blog Era. We got to talk about that. But, and one piece that they left out, and I understand how they did, because you might not know, it kind of predates it. They didn't show any love. They didn't know about the history of our boy Dave Ellis.
Really? The late, yeah. Great Dave Ellis.
The late, great Dave Ellis, who maybe, it is reported by those who know, supposedly, and I believe it to be true, had the first hip-hop blog of all time.
Really?
Really?
Like 98, 99, he had a joint called, if you're out there and you know it, please let me know and reach out. Hip-Hop Reviews with a Z. It was so bugged. You know, you can go on, I don't know if you guys know, you can like search on the internet and go view old websites that no longer exist. It has like snapshots of them. I was looking at his old shit. Yo, Dave was a wild. Let me just say this. Dave was a wild boy, first of all. He was saying crazy things on there.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
His hip-hop opinions were so sophisticated and smart for like his age.
His knowledge was insane, yeah.
Insane. He came along and had me. You know, Sife, when Dave Ellis came along, I was already like 22 and kind of like getting towards the end. He was like, came in at like 18. I was like, yo, this kid's like the new black Jersey Rosenberg. Like he was his shit. Like he knew everything and he knew the internet. And when I was looking at his website, I saw he also did wrestling reviews on there too, which I had no recollection of that he was that into wrestling, but he was.
Damn.
He was reviewing albums?
Yeah, he did full album reviews. Full album reviews, single reviews. And then he eventually started the radio show TRS.
Yes.
TRS Radio at University of Maryland. And then he kept Hip Hop Reviews. It switched and became another thing that I'm forgetting the name of right now. But he was legit maybe the first ever blogger that there was. Ooh, but it was like several, it was a good 3 or 4 years before the quote blog era, you know, before your Not Rights and your Two Dope Boys and your things like that.
It was a website and he was writing like.
Yes.
Writing on
before
something.
Anybody I don't even know.
Yeah, and he was just like writing articles. Like it was like very much like a blog as the way it was intended. Like it had links at the top. You could do like hip hop albums or wrestling or whatever. And then it was just his writing about shit. Very opinionated, very smart. And I mean, honestly, Rel, like that's to this day, sadly, now at this point at 43, I've been through my share of like tragedies and losses. That one's up there, bro. But that was like the first friend who I ever had die in an absolutely tragic way.
I mean, he followed us on the show, right?
Yeah.
On the station, yeah.
He was on right after us.
Well, how did he die? We're all wondering.
Oh, sorry. So it's died in a fire.
Tragically.
It's bad, tragically. Bro.
Fire?
Bro.
Yeah.
Bro, it's bad.
That's the worst.
It's tragic.
He died in a fire. Actually, because of his death, they knocked down all of the houses that were like the one he died in. You know that, right? That's why they took down all the Knox boxes. They killed all of them.
He died on campus?
He died in a Knox box.
Oh, I didn't know that. It was like these little shitty, they weren't dorms, they're like apartments for students, pretty much, right?
Yeah, that literally owned by people who were ripping off students to live in shitty, unsafe houses.
Right, right.
And then he died in one, and they're now gone. The university, I guess the university afterwards bought all the land and just extended dorms and like was like, we're not going to have our students live here anymore.
Right.
But like Dave died in a fire in this house. And the fucking awful thing is, it's awful to even say it, but it's part of the story. Like the windows were barred in his room.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. These are shitty spots, man. Sorry, people nasty. Wow.
Supposedly the version that I like to believe is that, you know, he was killed by the smoke and didn't wake up. That's the version I would like to believe, but it was terrible, yo. He was like 23 years old.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
Young shot, kid.
Super
dude.
Young kid. Isn't it? It's so crazy. We're like old now, and Dave's still 23 years old.
So beyond his time, too, man. Super cool kid. But don't want to bring the show down.
R.I.P. D. Ellis. Yo, Ro, you look like you're out here in the gym. You're kind of swole up in these streets.
Bro, you can't see the gut, baby. You only see the arms, man. Hollywood makes me stay good from titty up. Like, they make you stay, you know what I mean? You got no eating disorders, bro. I'm eating leaves for breakfast and lunch. Pressure, dog. It's pressure. You can't just be funny no more. You got to look good. Kevin Hart, you seen Kevin Hart? He got a gym in the house.
I hate what he's done. I hate what Kevin Hart's done with this.
You hate what Kevin Hart's done?
Yeah, this whole health.
He's healthy.
You have to have a great body to be in comedy. Well, I miss, you know, like...
No, Kevin Hart, that has nothing to do with comedy.
I know, but he has upped the level, though.
He's upped the level for being, like, an actor.
Oh, you think it has nothing to do with comedy. Okay, fair enough.
No, Sife, you say Chappelle? Chappelle's muscular.
Sife, tell the truth. You're close to Chappelle. He's juicing, right? Chappelle's on the roid. He's on the stuff.
He
got big quick.
I saw him last night at a party. He's wearing a tank top at the party, guns out. That's like everywhere he goes.
Yeah, he's always with the tank top. What party were you at?
It was at the Tribeca anthem premiere thing at the highlight at Standard. You know all the parties, like, come on, you know all the parties.
I am out of the party scene. I don't get invited to nothing. I don't know where any party is.
What, Buckshot nothing. Shorty didn't give you an invite?
Yo, if Buckshot's not there, Sife's not invited.
Sife's not coming.
I'm just saying that's my Rolodex.
Sife, you want to go to the French Montana Tribeca premiere this week?
When? I'm leaving on tour.
Well, you're going to be gone.
Forgetting that.
It's Friday.
You touring for stand-up, you touring for music stuff.
I'm going on tour with Bert Kreischer and that whole Fully Loaded festival.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
All right. Be careful, Sike.
It's going to be white trash bonanza, baby.
Are you required to take your shirt off? But that's like this Bert.
I got to take my shirt off. Yeah, we all do.
Okay, fair.
No. In all seriousness, Sike, if they said it's shirts off, that's what we're doing, would you be doing it?
I have to. That's why I gained weight to go on this tour.
No, I'm serious. Sife has rules. Sife will not, unless like it's a wedding or for a role, he does not wear dress shoes.
No, not even really? For a wedding.
Oh, sorry, not for a wedding.
I would only wear dress shoes if it was for some kind of acting gig.
Okay, what if it was a big comedy gig, but the theater required it?
No.
Okay, so then I'm applying that same question. If Bert Kreischer, for you to be a part of his tour, required you to be shirtless at all times, are you doing it or leaving the tour?
Leaving the tour.
Wow, Sife, you don't want the bag, bro. You're not going to take the shirt off.
You got to take your shirt. That's part of the whole thing. By the way, it's the one thing I don't like about Bert Kreischer. It's like, I don't understand it. Why does he have a shirt off?
That's his thing now, yo.
What a terrible...
It's a terrible thing.
Yeah, Sife, you need to have a thing. You got to have a gimmick now.
I don't have a thing. I need a thing.
What's yours, Ro? What's yours? You're a comedian. What's yours?
I'm not successful with Sife, so I don't got nothing yet. Stand up live. That's why I'm trying to be an actor.
Oh, please. Right. Look at yourself. You're on... As I like to say it, you're on the cock. You got a big show on the cock.
It's Vanderpump Rules to us.
Yeah. You're one of the biggest parts of the cock.
I'm on the cock. We're popping, man.
Yeah, Sife, what is the, with the Kreischer tour, though, what is the deal with it? Is it like a straight-up comedy tour, like, or is there other weird shit?
There's a lot of weird shit. It's almost like how they call it a rolling summer camp.
Okay.
And it's like, it's in like the Wednesday we're at Forest Hill Stadium.
Okay.
So that's the level of show, like whatever that is, 10,000 or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Wow, you're doing 10K? Damn.
But that's New York. Other shows are bigger. Some shows are in minor league baseball stadiums, like arenas.
What's doing stadiums? Wow.
There's rotating comics throughout the tour. It's not the same, but it's like New York is like Dan Soder, Big J, Shane Gillis, Rosebud Baker, a couple other ones. And then, you know, then the tour, like, it changes out every week, different people. Like, what's his name, with the red hair? Andrew Santino's coming, Chad Daniels. Then you got...
Is there any method?
Dave Attell.
Is there any, like, rhyme or reason to who these people are? Or are they all just homies of Bert?
They're all in the same vibe. I don't know what you call it. There's no names for these crews, but they're all like into Joe Rogan podcast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe they're not, maybe like Dave Attell doesn't have a podcast. But Dave Attell is an OG legend to those type of comics.
Correct.
But Santino's a podcast, Big J. You know, it's that, it's like a Joe Rogan satellite.
Right. Like, it's family
like
tree.
The partiers of the of that. Like, and it's like, I'm assuming from Bert's persona, it's like just white, drunk people. You know what I mean?
Are you the least white person on this?
Oh, Tiffany's on it.
Oh, she is?
Tiffany Haddish is on some of it. Maybe Miss Pat is on some. But yeah, I'm probably. Too? Yeah,
you know Brian Simpson probably on it. Brian Simpson.
I know Brian. I never met him, but he's pretty funny. Oh, here we go. It's Mark Norman, Shane Gillis, Tiffany Haddish. Oh, Bruce got added. Jay Farrell got on it. That's looks like the most. Oh, Ralph Barboza's on it.
Okay, young Ralph.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Nice.
And then I'm down at the bottom. Way, if you look at the website, I'm way at the bottom. Just Cypher Sound style. You know what
Let me ask you, Cypher. Let me ask. Have you done a 10,000 before? Like non DJing?
Yeah. Yeah, I've done like with Dave. Yeah, I've done it a few times. We did Red Rocks. I've done The Garden. In Europe, we did a fucking. I just came back. But I was in Abu Dhabi with Mo Amer. That was like 16,000.
That'd be crazy, yeah. It's just a wave of people you can't even see, like a festival.
I've learned how to do comedy in those big places, though.
Right.
I mean, it's not that much different. It's just timing. You got to wait for the laughs to come back.
Merz had me host a Pay Dues thing, and it's just, I'd never done it before. And it, you know Marcela Aguilar? Abuela, whatever her last name is? No. So we did host this, and that's just like, outside festival is not a good look for comedy, man. That's why I was wondering if you had ever, if that shit was like for you, but yeah.
I think I'm hosting the whole event, DJing, bringing up all the comics, maybe from intermission do a set. But when I'm not trying to talk bad about the crew, but I don't have a lot of information, which is driving me absolutely nuts.
You're saying you're not the kind of person who likes operating with zero information?
Not at all. I love information.
Yeah, you're one of the number one
information
guys.
I haven't spoken to a sound engineer.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. I'm just trying to breathe and just roll with it.
How many dates are we talking over here, Sai?
It's 4 weeks, 17 shows altogether, 17 shows.
Hey, but you know you got a lane that no other comic has, man. DJ,
I know.
Nobody can fuck with you.
This is my problem, though. It's not that nobody can fuck with me. It's also no one knows how to fucking bill me. Bert was like, you got to do this. It's going to be crazy. You're going to do this, and this. And then it goes to Bert's wife, to his manager, to the assistant, to the tour runner, whatever. Then down to, and then it's like, DJ set by Cypher Sound.
Right.
But yeah. Bert was like, you're going to be the whole face. You're going to be with me, DJing, music, comedy. It's going to be crazy. And then it gets to the announcement. It's like, oh, yeah, and Cypher.
it's a small font. It's a, I had Rob Hayes on Cypher a couple weeks ago, and I was looking at the flyer, and we were talking about, it's the magnifying glass font.
But what do I do, though? Do I get mad?
Well, what you don't do, I don't think you should air the grievances on this podcast.
No, it's not grievances. It's not grievances.
No, I think the way you're discussing this is totally fair and normal.
Put it like this. It has nothing to do with Bert and his team.
Right.
This always happens to me.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's something I'm missing that I can't fucking figure out. Like, I got new managers, right? And they were like, what do you want from us? I was like, what I want is for me to be explained to whoever's booking me in the right way so they understand what I do. And they're like, oh, that's easy. That's what we do. And then I had to write an email last week. Hey, guys, you see this? This is what I was talking about. And they're like, oh, we don't know. We spoke to them from day one and da-da-da-da-da.
There's always the asterisk spot, like Bert Pricer and all the listening DJ'd by Cypher Sounds on the side.
But you don't want just DJ'd by. It's almost like,
yeah, but
it's
I'm
almost
coming
like,
on as a comedian.
Right, yeah. And you want people to know that when they get you for something, comedy is part of it. It's not just music. They're not they're not having D Nice.
Right,
with all the respect.
Right.
Exactly.
Right, you know, right, 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 right,
so,
right, right, right.
whatever. It's probably my fault somewhere along the line.
You know, the rumor around in the industry that you don't like to wear the proper shoes. Sorry, that's what I've been hearing.
Maybe I gotta start wearing some loafers or something.
Rel, you've been hearing this from promoters. They're like, you know, Cypher Sounds and the fucking shoes. It's fucking
Comic's been saying it. It's like, it's worse than telling jokes. Like, not having the proper footwear.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck's going on with this guy. All right, so Sam, I didn't tell you yet about the remember I said something happened from the blog era podcast. So this is sort of amusing, and only a one app way. They had an episode where in the episode Low Key, you know Low Key, remember Low Key, right? He's the
I remember the name, yeah.
Yeah, he had a website called You Heard That New.
Yeah, You Heard That New.
And yeah, good, great guy. Now he works for Apple. And anyways, Lo is on the podcast and does a whole part about how annoying Elliot Wilson was in the blog era. He's just like, yo, man, Elliot was a motherfucker, man. Like,
wow.
the level of competitiveness, like, it was just fucking a lot. Like, damn,
that's hilarious. Fucking crazy.
And it's hilarious, right? And the Rosenthals posted it. Like, they started posting clips later in the season, and they posted a clip on their Instagram with Lo saying all this.
Yeah.
And I wrote something like, this
here
is
we
not
go. A, why? Yeah. Why are you in
I know,
it?
Why am I in it?
Yo, your boy, yo. Get your boy.
Yo, I remember I texted you through the Nikki shit. I'm like, what are you doing, Pete? Don't get involved with these things.
And I talked to my therapist about this, and he asked if I was trying to like why was I being a dick? And I was like trying to think of my mentality. And when I went back and I asked Low Key, so it got deleted. Whatever I said got deleted, okay? Not by me. But I guess the Rosenthals may have deleted it. Someone deleted it, which triggered Elliot to go on a whole thing on social media about I'm talking shit and deleting comments.
Okay, what did you write, first of all?
So I say to Lo, I'm like, what did I say? Wait, I was like,
what was the comment?
I had to ask Lo, because I thought I said something kind of, you know, pretty nasty for it to get that kind of response. And
like,
so
you don't even remember what you wrote?
I knew it was something offhanded like, this is a fact or whatever. I knew it was something like that. And Low Key
told me. You ever thought about hiring somebody to take your phone away from you?
Oh. My full comment was, I wrote, Lo isn't lying.
That's it.
What I wrote. Lo isn't lying.
Okay.
That's fair.
And look, that was on the Rosenthal's Instagram?
Correct.
Okay.
And somehow Elliot saw that, goes on Twitter started talking all kinds of shit about how I say shit and delete it. I showed up. I was like, bro, I didn't delete it. I would say it to your face. I would say it here. Like, it's not a big deal. I'm saying that you were annoying 15 years ago. Like, this isn't crazy. Are there people out there who don't think Elliot was annoying 15 years ago? Like, he's the most competitive. He was a crazy man. Like, I didn't think it was that deep. Now, listen, I know I was incredibly flawed 15 years ago, too. But the comment and the part that I saw wasn't about me. It was about you. And I just said that it was true. So anyways, he goes on about it. And he's not mad at Low Key. He takes
That's
no
what I was
issue
about
with,
to ask. What
no
about-
issue. No, he said, Low, you're good. Low, you're good.
What?
Yes. Interesting.
Why?
Y'all have a thing?
Yeah, for years.
Yes, we do. But the last interaction we had was at WrestleMania, right around when I saw you. He was there with Wale. We had a good time. I did notice at some point during our conversation, which was after he'd consumed some beverages, he did throw something in, Sife, about like, you know, you noisemakers and crown and blah, blah, blah. And I literally was like, I ignored it. I ignore whatever old thing he was bringing up that we had back in the day. In my mind, I'm like, bro, it's WrestleMania. It's 2023. I'm not worried about whatever shit we had.
You working?
Yeah, you're good. I'm good. I ignored it. I completely ignored it. But to your point, Rel, obviously, yes, there is something. There's still something there. There's something residual there. And obviously, I have some slight thing there because I felt the need to talk some shit.
That's also true.
Also true. But I DM'd
him. How did he not say shit about Low Key, though?
There's no thing. So, like, he you know, I don't know. Now, it should also be noted that a week after this, he rolled out his new season of the Rap Radar podcast and probably was just trying to hype things up on social media. Little does he know, I'm frigid out here hyping things up with me to think I do shit for you. But I DM'd him, and I apologized. I said, hey, if I was really kind of goofing off, I'm sorry if you took that in a bad way. And, like, you good? Because, like, this seems like a weird thing to be, you know, I'm just checking in. Make sure you're good. You can holler at me anytime you want. And he left me on scene. And that was the scene.
But isn't it like a beef every couple years? Is not. That's fine. That's healthy, right?
That was light. I can't even call that beef. That was like, that was beef. That was tartar. That was like not even
that
real.
Was tartar.
That wasn't fully cooked.
It's very thinly like sliced.
The truth is this, Elliot, I have a love-hate relationship with Elliot. Like I really do appreciate and respect a lot of things that he's brought to the game. And I've also felt like at different times he's, you know, been dismissive or been a little bit of a dick, you know, and that's it. I mean, like that's kind of the whole thing. I don't know how I describe. Si, you remember the early Rap Radar 1-Ep days? It was like he liked making it competition too. Like it wasn't just a lot of times I take all the blame for my previous issues. Elliot loved being in the mix too. Loved it. It was always some shit and I didn't even always understand it. But I have no actual personal issue. Bro, I don't have any personal issues. I'm very low. The list of people I actually have personal issues with now is down to like one or two.
Yeah.
It's very low. It's very low. I don't even have like I saw Nick Cannon yesterday and we were having a conversation about Charlamagne. He was like someone asked if we're good. I was like, you know what? No, we're not good, but I don't have any negative, like I don't spend any negative energy towards him whatsoever.
Right.
He's been so surpassed by people who were so much worse that I was like, honestly, he actually seems like a good guy now. Yeah, that actually seems like really playful.
Right, exactly. Exactly. It's probably the same competitive shit that you guys probably had from years ago, you know? All you guys in that same world.
Yeah, radio's weird like that. Radio does, it does create its own, like, thing. So if you don't have that in 94,
I know. The problem is, like, I'm not competitive, and I wonder if that hurts me sometimes. Because I'm all like, yo, everybody's in their lane. Do your thing. You know what I mean?
But Sife, I think that's the right attitude, but.
But Sife, you're also way more likable than Peter. So I think that
it's a great point.
I know I'm a likable person. I know I'm like a giving, a helpful, that type of person. That's why I tell my agent, I go, but you gotta somehow just get me in the room.
Right.
Because
I win them over.
Club owners, managers, bookers like me when they meet me.
But if you're
just trying to send a tape and a one sheet, I'm hard to get.
Right.
So just get me in as a guest spot, as a feature, as an opener. Just get me in. I promise it will turn into something. And then agents are like, oh, well, we don't book features. And then I know in my mind, they're like, because we don't make any money off that. But I'm telling you, my strong suit, which is a horrible strong suit, is a one-on-one day of situation.
Right.
I win people over. Comedy's comedy, bro. I know people that's way funnier than me. I know people that's not as funny as me. Some people who are way funnier than me are lower than me in status. Some people who are not as funny as me are very famous. It's all fucking relative and, and subjective, right?
Right.
I can't worry about this guy who got 3 million on TikTok and he's not that funny. That's not my business. Yes, I look at it on TikTok and go, oh, but it's not my business. My business is to try to sell me. So please just get me in the, I will take my own flight. I'll drive my own car. Just get me in the room. And every time I've done that, I've gotten gigs because of it.
Stop making my name magnifying glass small.
Come on, I'm a little bigger, man.
Give me a little bit. I've done some things. Give me some, you know what I mean?
No, but I know what it is, bro. It's like it gets trickled down and then someone who's making the flyer Googles me and they go, oh, he's the DJ. No, I'm not just a DJ.
Oh, you think the DJ is why they do it? Okay.
I think so in comedy.
Right. You can negotiate all that in your contract. You know that, right?
Bro, I did.
Oh, man.
I have a management. I told them all of this happens. They're like, no way that happens. No way. You discovered Rihanna. There's no way that could happen.
Yeah. DJ said.
Don't tell anyone Cypher's on this tour.
Are you at least making a nice bag?
The bag is nice. The bag got handled correctly. So that's how I know. That's how I know I'm moving in the right direction and my steps are working because the bag is nice.
And everybody's not doing all the dates. Just you.
I'm
you
the only Brad. One. I think me and Big J Ogerson are the only ones on the entire tour.
Oh shit! That's a hell of a bag. Game.
Yeah. It's a good bag. Great bag.
Oh, wait. So you were happy with the bag. The billing was just a little.
The bag is great, but I don't never do it for the bag.
Right.
In a sense. No. The bag, I'm super happy that I make a living from this.
Yeah.
But it's like I want to get 9 bigger bags because I was on this tour. You know what I mean?
Right.
To other things.
And you gaining more followers, more fans, exposure, shit, arena tours.
That's the goal.
The positives are bigger.
And how do you compete? Like, as someone who's like, in that sense, you're kind of old school. You're kind of like the last generation of came up as
not,
a...
It's not old school. It's long game.
And do you still feel that way? And do you still feel that way? Like, you're okay not trying to... You know, be Drewski, who, by the way, is very funny. I'm taking zero away from him, but you know what I mean? Like a huge social media guy.
It's one of those things, man. Once you get on the road, like you're in Kentucky somewhere, if you didn't put the work in stand-up-wise, it ain't going to matter. You'll have a sold-out crowd and bomb. You know what I mean? So that goes around, too. Like, this guy's trash, you know? And a lot of cats like DC Young Fly and, like, Country Wayne, they're getting better at stand-ups. So now when they go, they start to be able to perform and bring the social media with the comedy. You know, but a lot of the cats, they take L's all day. And they bring on guys like stand-ups who come and open for them, and they just crush those motherfuckers.
If I was the manager of one of those social media comedians, yo, Syph, the level of strategy I'd have to have with opener, because you can get them just absolutely crushed.
All of those. I'll get them
Yeah, because they're having pros open for them because, you know, Rel Battle doesn't have 5 million on Instagram. Yeah. But guess what? He knows how to go up there and kill.
Right.
And that can be...
All those social media stars do it wrong. All of them.
What would you do different if you...
I know the whole shit. The whole shit is whatever. Whoever, blankety blank and friends or whatever. But, you know, that name has been used so much, but you come up with a new name. But you just host the show.
You host the show. You're right.
You come out, you got to, but you know, I don't know what it is. People are narcissistic. They think it's all about them, or maybe they don't want to spend the bread. But you can have a long lasting, you, if you really care about stand up, see, a lot of these guys don't really care about stand up. They just popping off being funny and they're doing whatever, doing skits or whatever. If you really care about stand up, you book 4 comics, you host the show. You got your little 10 minutes up top, and then you do funny shit in between that the crowd loves you for. Right. And then at the end, you do a Q&A or get all the comics on stage at once and talk shit with each other. You'll get the content from that. And then you work on your shit because you're getting the money. So you work on your shit to eventually you're down to doing 25 up top. You only got 3 comics with you. Then you work it out. Then when you get to 30, then you don't host no more. You get another guy to host.
You close.
Or even feature for yourself and then be like, yo, I got Donnell Rawlins closing out. Make it like it's about you, but you got the big guy closing out. I got whoever, Bruce, I got Earthquake. I brought him here for you. This is my gift to you. You did your 30 until you get to, 45, 50. Then you start closing.
You get the credit. You always get the credit.
Your name is the show.
People forget Martin. Martin only did 5 minutes at the top of every show of Def Jam. But we see Def Jam as Martin Lawrence. You know what
exactly.
I'm saying? So you're right. That's the best way to do it. Yeah.
As if you care about stand-up and you want to go long game, because they get a lot of money.
They get bread, bro.
But we're gonna see how many come back. We're gonna see.
What, Rel, what do you aspire to do? Like what do you, what obviously you do comedy, you do acting. Like, if you had your druthers, what would the next 10 years look like for Rel Battle?
I think, like, Jamie Foxx has had the greatest career of anybody. Jamie Foxx.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He's been able to kind of play in every spot. Like, he did 2 specials. He went through a film. He did music. I don't want to do music, but, you know, he's been able to jump in different places, man. I'm not one of these comics that wants 15 specials. Do a special a year. I don't want to be George Carlin, 88, trying to get on HBO. I don't have a desire to do that. I want to be able to transition out of that and just chill and maybe do movies or produce projects. You know what I'm saying? So I've always loved that, to be able to move on to something else. You know what I'm saying? I thought I was going to do radio until P fired me. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know what the fuck I was going to do.
Were you really like hopeful to do radio in a real way?
It was the only thing I had done that I actually enjoyed. I actually loved doing it. So I didn't
remember when radio was the shit.
Oh man, dude. Come on, dog. The Big Tigger days and all that shit.
It was. Well, I don't know. I don't know that I realized that. So, like, when did you do any more after the stuff you did with me?
Well, what I did was I started hosting, like, so cell phones, before all we have now, it was like this thing called GoTV. I don't know if you guys remember that. They were just starting to really have videos on cell phones. So I would host.
Yeah, I kind of remember that, yeah.
Yeah, like these video shows. So that's why I was hosting paid and dudes behind the scenes or Rock the Bell stuff. I was hosting shit in L.A., like, so it was kind of like radio, you know what I mean? And then it kind of transitioned into stand-up comedy. But I thought I was going to do radio, or I was going to write. Remember, I worked at MTV that one year?
Yep.
I thought I was going to be Sway, Big Tigger. I was kind of looking at that spot. That's kind of what I thought at that time. And I was like, nah, I'm cool. You know what I'm saying? Because we had like a 3 a.m. shift, and I was like, I don't want to do that shit.
And do you enjoy your lifestyle as it is now?
Oh, man, it's great. It's amazing. It's like I'm in a different city every 3 weeks. It's You know, it could be heavy on you, but bro, I don't know about y'all. I just fucking, you know, psyched though. I love being on stage, man. I sit up there and talk shit all day. I love it. Like it's a dumb life. We have a dumb job, all of us. We have a really dumb job. You guys talk about hip hop and music and comedy. Bro, and we get paid for this shit.
Bro, I fucking said a joke on Friday. I was at the Stand. I was doing like, I did 7 shows at the Stand on Friday.
That's crazy.
The first show I did, no, the second show I did, 8 o'clock, I made a joke about the smog in New York, the air quality. The joke, I never said this before. I was just ranting, and it got a big laugh, and I caught it, right? The rest of the 7 shows, I was on fire trying to work out that little thing I found in the first show, and it made my whole night the funnest night. You know what I mean? And ever since Friday, today is
Monday.
We're recording this on Monday. Every stage I've been on since Friday, I've been super excited so I could get up and work this joke out. And it's gotten better. Every show has gotten one little bit better, a little bit. I did it yesterday at brunch, and it's like almost a full bit. You know what I mean?
That's your job.
A big laugh. Bro, I got my material. You go on stage, you knock it out. Sometimes you do some crowd work. But when you find something, now I'm so excited to get up. Like, I want to get up tonight. Right. Finish it. I added a part where I speak Spanish in it. I don't even speak Spanish. I have to call my Dominican friends. Yo, how would a Dominican say this? Da-da-da-da. Okay, right. Got it. Try to remember
right,
it.
Right.
It's super exciting.
You know what I equate that to? Like, when you guys were DJing, and it was like the party's popping, and then you know I'm about to put on Back That Ass. They about to go crazy when I put Back That Ass up. This, you know, back in 2000, whatever the fuck. But when you about to put that record, you know it's going to fucking kill them. That's like a new joke that you know about to hit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That you worked out a couple of times. So it's just fulfilling, man. You know, all Pete talked about in college was wrestling. That's my fucking, you know, you host wrestling.
Bro, I got a mix I do since, bro, this is my never fail mix. It's more money, more problems. The last hook of Mo Money Real Problems goes a cappella.
Yeah.
And I mix in Montel, This Is How We Do It. And like, it gets the pop every time. Like, every time.
That has to, is that mostly for Wyatt's?
It's a lot of them for the whites, yeah.
Yeah, because though I
but not
I,
only.
Yo, I considered, I don't have a no playlist for the wedding, but This Is How We Do It might be on it.
Well, it's a no playlist.
I don't want to hear it at my wedding.
You don't want to hear This Is How We Do It?
Yeah, I don't want to hear it. I'm like embarrassed to hear This Is How We Do It. It embarrasses me.
But the wedding isn't for you.
No. Right? No, that's a good point. It's a good point. But Natalie doesn't love This Is How We Do It either. I mean, she doesn't have the same hatred towards it that I do, certainly.
Yeah. I never understand when people say they hate that song. It's so weird to me.
It's just like there's something so painfully cheesy.
It's 2 minutes.
No, you're right. Minutes. You're right. You're right.
It's 2 minutes and it gets the watts going crazy.
No, you're right. It just, you know what it is? It makes me feel so, it reminds me of my whiteness and I hate it. I don't want to be reminded of that. I look around, I'm like, ugh, look at us. It's just like a bad version of Children's Story with him saying things that are so cliched and cheesy.
Yeah.
Like if you break down the words that Montel Jordan's singing on the song.
No, if you do that, you're a psycho if you do that.
I'm kind of buzzed. It's all because.
Yo, this is
I'll
how.
Set you with that, like,
no, hold on. I'm going to pull it.
You can get down in the 6-4.
You can get down in the 6-4. Whatever all right, it is.
Okay, so here's we go. This is how we do it. It's Friday night, and I feel.
Oh,
all right.
Shit. Go ahead. I'm sorry. We just found a new one that we forgot about.
What?
You know, our, we used to call them, our smart hip hop line?
Yeah. The overly.
He says the party's underway.
Oh. Yes,
he does say the party's underway. Oh. All right, here we go. He goes, it's Friday night and I feel all right. The party's here on the west side. So I reach for my 40. First cringe of the song is saying reach for my 40. It was already just like so cliche.
Reach for my 40.
And I turn it up. Designated driver, take the keys to my truck. Great message.
Responsible.
No. Safety. It's a great message. More than anyone, I appreciate that. And yet it also is cringe for some reason. I don't even know why. Because it's the right thing to do. He says, hit the shore because I'm faded. Mm-hmm. Honey's in the street saying, Monty, yo, we made it. Mm-hmm. It feels so good in my hood tonight. Even that to me is a little cringe. I don't know why. The summertime skirts and the guys in Kanai, all the gangbangers forgot about the drive-by. Did they? I don't know that anyone's ever forgotten about the drive-by. If the drive-by was planned, it either was canceled or it's happening tomorrow. But right. No one's like, yo, this party's so good.
Listen, we can't worry about tomorrow. We're worried about tonight. They forgot about the drive-by tonight.
Tonight. Okay. You're right. I should be fair.
I mean, is there a greater party hip-hop song? A great, great song? Not best, but great hip-hop song?
You mean just like a guaranteed party winner?
Like, what's the greatest club song that, like, is still powerful?
I mean, that's up there.
I mean, listen, I would, if you want to take a song that's sort of on that level, that's still cheesy and makes the whites go crazy, but I don't cringe when I hear it, I'd rather hear Usher, than This Is How We Do It.
Yeah?
No pun intended. Okay. Yeah.
Nah.
You'd rather hear This Is How We, speaking of whites.
I have one.
Here we go.
Which one?
Where the Party At Remix.
That's not good even up song. There.
What is party
about?
Not
Jagged Edge?
Yeah. About Jagged Edge with Nelly.
That's not even up there.
And by the way, that's
it's
not
a record, but.
Yeah, and the remix isn't with Nelly. The original's
also,
with Nelly.
Also, now that you guys are talking about this, Peter, I think you should give them your opinion of Swag Surf that you discussed last week. It was pretty good.
No, Syph isn't going to agree with me at all. And Rel won't either. I'm on an island. I get it.
Yeah, but you should at least give the opinion.
Okay, yeah. It's
wait, which version? Wheezy, mixtape Wheezy, or the original?
No, the real one. And by the way, the reason I observe this the most is because Syph notoriously, in my brain, plays this.
Every
like
time.
Syph would always play it out, right?
Yeah.
And I feel this way about the song. The reason I hate it is it breaks the bubble I have in my brain that black people are naturally cooler than white people. Because when I see 5,000 black dudes put their arms around each other and go swag surfing,
that's actually
I go
that's
this actually, hurts my heart.
That's actually racist what you're saying.
Which part of it? That I thought black people were cooler than white people.
Yeah, like
no, I know.
Generally all black people are the same and they're cooler than all white people.
Of course. Yes, it is.
Anything that there is in white, there is in black, and there's Latino. There's dad jokes. There's
you don't have to explain this to me. You're right.
Bro, I was walking down the street. I saw this black family yesterday, and a black guy was wearing sandals with jeans.
Wait, like, hold on. Rel's about to shoot a 90s underground video. Yeah, keep going. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, there's no, corny.
No, so, you're, I agree. So, no, no. By the way, of course. Of course I agree. I'm just saying the swag surfing moment hits me the way, like, cringe white things hit me. It might as well be the Cotton Eye Joe. It's like doing the horror at a Jewish wedding. I hate it. I just am like, it's just cringe and corny. Like, why do I want to have my dudes around me as we surf together? I don't get it. Is there something wrong with me? I just don't get it.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think about the electric slide, right? Choreographed dance. Is that the same feeling?
Yo, yeah. Electric slide.
Yeah, I hate the electric slide. Too.
Electric slide is square dancing, yo. It's the same
dancing.
Shit.
It's square dancing. It's square dancing.
Electric slide.
Bunny hop.
What's the other shit?
The bunny hop.
Cupid
bunny
shuffle. Hop. It's Cupid the shuffle. Cupid shuffle.
Oh,
bro, Cupid. It's the same as I look at that and go, black people are also corny.
Yes.
Like square dancing or line. There's cool people. There's corny people. There's jocks. There's nerds. There's fuckboys. There's smart people. I mean, like, it's
well,
all
Rel,
the same.
I know you,
it's just,
I know you
it's
used to
just
film
people.
Me.
It's just people.
I know Rel used to film me on this one that we used to deal with at Maryland as two independent non-fraternity people. Yo, at Lupo's, when the black frats would come and step on the dance floor.
Jesus Christ. They take it over.
I love it.
Yo, no, girls are getting knocked off the dance floor so dudes can party together. Like, what are y'all doing?
What are y'all doing? But it was cool.
That's my favorite shit, bro.
I was always, as a DJ, I'm like, no, don't start stepping. You're pushing the girls away. What are we doing? Rel, where can people see you in New York, Rel?
I'm at New York Comedy Club this week. While I'm performing here, and then I'm rocking out. I'm probably going to be at the stand as well. So I'm going to be in all three other cities. Google me.
And he'll be at plenty of parties that Sife's not invited to. So wherever you see Rel, you know, just assume Sife was not told about this event.
I'm Sife the Sounds 2005, baby.
Hey, Rel, when are you here till?
I'm going to be here till Thursday, and I fly to Miami to promote the show, but I'm here till Thursday.
But you said you're back on the reg, so we should get a dinner on the books. This should be an actual hangout.
We should definitely do that. I'm back in a couple weeks, man. Let's hang out. I want to meet the fiance.
I would love that. All right, Rel.
All right, brother. Thank you guys
appreciate
so
you.
Much, man.
The great Rel Battle. Thanks. Cypher, I have to go to work now.
Is he going to the room?
Is he going to what?
Is he going to the room?
Does he know about the one?
Is that what you're saying?
Does he know about the one? No, he don't know about it.
He's not. But we haven't been close. No. I love Rel. I think the love's mutual. We haven't been close in a super long time. He wouldn't expect.
I was just wondering. It's fine.
You
don't care.
If you just want to know whether or not he's inviting him.
Yeah, he's not going to work.
By the way, why do we only have a month left to do this bit? That's very funny. All right, guys. We love you. We hope you sign up for the Patreon, patreon.com/JuanEpIsLife. We did over an hour last week on the Patreon. Hope you enjoy it. And Sife, as good luck at the start of this tour here.
Thank you, man. Hopefully it goes well. I'm gonna get some JuanEp content. Don't worry.
Will you?
Yeah.
Throw stuff up on the Instagrams.
Yeah.
All right, I gotta go, guys. I love you all.
Peace and blessings.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. acast.com.